You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
No, I'm not ready for this yet. I need more coffee. But the clock says we're moving along anyway, so 6.5 minutes past 6 a.m. Good morning, Wisconsin. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or on social media through Facebook or YouTube. Glad to have you starting your day here on this Wednesday morning, October 9th, 27 days until Election Day. And I have a question for you, but since you can't yell at your radio and me hearing it, I'll ask Greg Bach. Greg Bach, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Have you ever heard the rule? It's not so much a rule, but the rule about doing something 500 times, that you don't get good at something till you've done it 500 times? Okay, clearly not.
No. Oh, God. I'm never going to be good at anything.
Yeah, well, you know, and I don't know who said it first. It was some athlete like a Michael Jordan or somebody like, yeah, your first, you know, few games are going to be rough, or your first free throws or your first whatever. But once you've done something 500 times, you know, you're going to be good at it. And there must clearly be a reason why Greg's not familiar with the saying, because I just realized that this is, for me, is radio show number 500. I've done about 435 of these morning shows, and there were about 65 before that in the mid-morning. And so 500 shows to this, Greg, wait a minute, Matt from Germantown on the text line, nailed it. You don't catch a muskie until you've cast 1,000 times.
My God, that was just I need to actually have inspirational music behind that, like Jack Handy moment.
And so we're just going to do this 500 more times, Greg, till I get it right. And I'm never going to muskie fish, because I've heard, you know, Dana Walks, friend of ours, he ran for governor, former state assembly rep. Hearing him about fishing for muskie, I mean, you keep doing it because you just might reel in that big one. But Matt in Germantown could not be more correct. You need to cast about 1,000 times to get a muskie. So,
well, we'll see you 500 shows from now. Bye!
We'll see if this gets any better. So thanks for being with us. Coming up on the show this morning, a lot to tell you about. We've got, first, the question, and I swear I mean this in sincerity. Did Eric Hovde eat lead paint chips? Because here's the guy that spoke at length in Milwaukee yesterday, and among the many things he said was that, you know, he doesn't think the lead water pipe thing is as big a problem as, you know, some people are making it out to be, you know, because so much progress has been made. But that's, you know, that's of little comfort if that's still an issue in your home. We'll go over some of the other things that he said as well. We'll go over what Donald Trump has been saying about electric vehicles in this week's Climate Check segment with Melissa Baldoff. He keeps talking about an EV mandate, and he's going to get rid of the EV mandate, and there is no EV mandate. But we'll explain what we think he's trying to talk about with Melissa coming up at the bottom of this hour. At the bottom of the next hour is our homeroom segment, and we're going to be talking to a couple of folks from Roosevelt Elementary in Eau Claire, basically about the PTA there. But I thought, well, we also hear about PTOs and what's the difference. So we'll talk a bit about PTOs, what they do. They're very similar, just some slight differences. And, you know, frankly, the good work that they do to bolster schools, especially in a time when you have a lazy legislature that's not doing its part to help fund public education. Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro will be here as well in our 7 o'clock hour. We each at different events had occasion to talk to Gina Raimondo. She is the current U.S. Commerce Secretary, but she took some personal time off work to become a personal surrogate for the Kamala Harris campaign. And so in her capacity as a private citizen, she's been speaking at places, including in Wisconsin, and we'll have hear what she has to say as not only a campaign surrogate, but what she has to say about Donald Trump's idea of basically tariffing the heck out of everything and what that would do to consumers versus Vice President Harris's plan for small businesses and for consumers. All right, along the way, you can either call or text us your questions, your comments, or your wisdom, like how many times you have to do something to get it right, whether it's musky fishing or radio broadcasting. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC is the number. You can call us, you can text us. You can also do that through the Civic Media app. And for those of you watching on Facebook or YouTube, you already know we have several listeners who leave regular comments every day. We would love very much for you to be a part of that. Tell us what where you're listening at, maybe what the weather's like by you, other events that are happening. Those are always welcome. So drop a comment anytime or a text, and we'd love to hear more from you. Let me start here, though, with something that Vice President Harris had to say yesterday, and it was on The View, of all places, where she broke a little bit of news. And I really kind of have to laugh about that because, Greg, I don't know if you have anybody in your life who is a regular watcher of The View, but my mom will call every so often, and she'll say, "Did you hear what they said on The View today?" And I'll be like, "No, Mom, again, I work, I have a job, and I'm a little busy at that time of day." But she, you know, that is one of her trusted sources for information. And I understand that. And so it was really, I expect her to call and rub it in when the Vice President, Kamala Harris, shows up there and breaks some news on The View yesterday that she wants Medicare to now cover home care expenses, which is right in line for an audience like that at The View. They're in the sandwich generation. They've got kids in daycare. They've got parents in elder care, you know, and they're feeling squeezed and they want Medicare to cover that. And I just thought it was, you know, it was, I chuckled at the notion of that. Kamala Harris was on the Call Her Daddy podcast the other day.
Yeah.
You know, making a little bit of news there. They're taking such a non-traditional approach, and it's making legacy media like the New York Times and others, it's making them crazy. But I think it's a smart strategy.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I totally agree. So, like, I've talked about this on Matt and Air on Air, but this campaign has the energy of Obama 2008, where they were really, that was the first social media savvy campaign. Barack Obama was going on the late night talk shows and being all cool, and she went on Colbert, she went on Jimmy. I mean, she did all these, she's doing all these appearances, and she's getting out to where people live. You know, not everybody reads the New York Times, and you know, the New York Times and the Washington Post haven't been exactly nice to her or Joe Biden, so no. I don't know why you'd put forth any effort to make a connection with them, but that's, you know, that's beyond, it's far above my pay grade, Pat. But
well,
just recently, no, I mean, I told you yesterday about that article in that NJ.com website where those, you know, the New York Times and the Washington Post and all and CNN are now starting to finally come around and say, hey, maybe Donald Trump isn't like mentally enough to run. Maybe he's falling apart a little.
Yeah. No, for the longest time, it was, you know, just the singular focus on Biden's cognitive skills, yeah, rather than Trump's and Trump's record and his rhetoric and everything else. And so, yeah, the other thing that I think the Harris-Walz ticket is doing is exactly the same thing that we did in setting up Up North News, and very similar to what Civic Media is doing setting up a radio network, is you're not looking to go where people are already invested in news and politics, because Kamala Harris, if you're talking to New York Times readers, there's a good chance there's not a lot of undecided voters,
yeah,
among readers of the New York Times. They know which way they come down, or the Wall Street Journal or anything else. So you go where people are who aren't as actively engaged in getting their news from places,
yeah,
and try to provide the information there. It's what Up North News is doing with so much of a presence on TikTok and other social media. Civic Media setting up stations all across rural Wisconsin,
yes,
which has had nothing but satellite canned country and right-wing talk for 30 years, trying to bring a different point of view up there.
Yeah.
And so I think it's wise that she's doing that.
I agree.
So so getting back to her appearance then on The View, talking about home caregivers and saying, you know, Medicare should be covering this. And by the way, it should also be covering hearing and vision. A couple of other things that seniors are always surprised to find out. And so there, this is a very substantive plan to cover home health care costs so that people don't have to necessarily go to a nursing home so soon if they can get the care they need at home and have it be covered. So here's about a minute of what Vice President Kamala Harris had to say about that on The View.
To your point about being in the sandwich generation, there are so many people in our country who are right in the middle. They're taking care of their kids and they're taking care of their aging parents. Mm-hmm. And it's just almost impossible to do it all. So what I am proposing is that basically what we will do is allow Medicare to cover in-home health care.
Oh, fine.
Right. And it's about dignity for that individual. It's about independence for that individual.
Oh, yes.
I mean, what, people are of declining skills to some extent, but their dignity has, their pride has not declined. No. And I'll just say, Whoopi, here's the other thing about it. You know, people say, well, how are you gonna pay for it? Here's the thing. Here's how we pay for it. Part of what I also intend to do is allow Medicare to continue to negotiate drug prices against these big pharmaceutical companies, which means we are gonna save Medicare the money because we're not gonna be paying these high prices. Right. And that those resources are best then put in a way that helps a family like the one you are describing.
Which you have already done.
Which we have already done with insulin.
Yeah.
So it can be done.
It absolutely can be done. And that sandwich generation, although I think Craig has a bit of an issue with the term sandwich generation, doesn't sit well with you.
I'm not offended or upset. I'd never heard of it before. The sandwich. I'm like, oh, what are they poor? Are they eating sandwiches? Like, what does that mean? No, I get it.
These are people, Greg, who live at Subway. See, this is just the love that they have.
If you're going to eat fresh.
That's right. So we put up an article about this at Up North News because of the tie into something that Governor Tony Evers recently did here in Wisconsin. So you've got details in that story on the vice president's Medicare coverage proposal for home health care. And you pay for it by, again, lifting that 20-year block that Republicans had on Medicare being able to negotiate for bulk pricing with big pharmaceutical companies. Meanwhile, Governor Evers has taken $258 million from the American Rescue Plan and has applied that towards setting up a minimum fee schedule for caregivers in home and community-based settings, essentially meaning home caregivers are going to get a raise. And that way you don't see as much turnover and you see more stability and better care for folks who need to be, because of their age or their disability, in home or residential healthcare situations. It's nice to see these folks who've been underappreciated for so long get attention both from Tony Evers and Kamala Harris. More after this. You're up north. John Lennon is part of today's history lesson. This is one of the many birthdays of which he was robbed so long ago. We'll talk about that and have more notes about 30 minutes from now in today's history lesson. A reminder that you can stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news through the daily newsletter that we provide at Up North News. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner, and you'll be there. Greg, I don't look at Christina's newsletter ahead of time. I see it, you know, early in the morning when it arrives with everybody else. And so I'm learning for the first time that when Vice President Kamala Harris was on Stephen Colbert last night, they each enjoyed a beer. She had, Colbert asked if she'd enjoyed a beer now and then. And she specifically called out Miller High Life.
Yeah,
and so
baby.
Colbert pulled a couple of beers from behind the desk, and they toasted with the champagne of beers on late night last night.
You know, I work for work very, very part time for a local brewery. There's beers I enjoy, your IPAs, and your, you know, you can get very fancy, but If I'm going to a bar and I just want to have a beer, it's always a High Life. It's always a High Life because it's just, it's simple. It's not going to get, I'm usually having one, maybe two. I'm not getting wasted. And it's just, it's easy. And summer, get out of here. Come on now.
My son-in-law always requests it when he lives out of, if he's in state, he's grabbing some High Life. But now that he lives out of state, he's always like, can you bring some Spotted Cow? So yeah, we feel like mules.
Yeah.
You know, we're packing up on the 12 packs of Spotted Cow to bring out to him. Also in the newsletter today, I think I talked about this the other day, Jeep ducking. Something about Wranglers and rubber ducks. And I wasn't aware of it at first. I happened to like my Jeep Wrangler. One day I come out and there's a little rubber ducky on the windshield wiper. Okay, fine. You know, about a week later, there's another one. And apparently it's a thing. It's not a thing I've participated in yet, but other Jeep owners do. And you can find out what the ducking is all about.
When you and Brittany came to realize you both own Jeeps.
Yes.
I then took that to Jane's show where we were both just like, what? We had no idea. Like, I knew that Jeep people had their own little language and their little hand signals.
We have our little wave.
Whatever. And we're just like, this is weird.
I think it's one thing to know that and go, hey, maybe I'd like to have a Wrangler. It's a different thing to have a Jeep and then, you know, these things start happening and you go, what is this? And you realize you've joined some kind of a club that you did not know you were joining.
Exactly. So
look for the explanation of that in the newsletter as well. Head to upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's get to Eric Hovde, but let's get there by way of President Biden, who came to Milwaukee yesterday to announce a serious acceleration of lead pipe removal. That, of course, has been a big problem in Milwaukee for decades that we've known about, yet it's still a thing because our leaders haven't been dedicating nearly the funds that they should to remove the potential for lead poisoning from the children of Milwaukee. But it's also in other Wisconsin communities as well, to be sure, and other communities around the country. And President Biden announced significant additional funding for upgrading drinking water systems, removing lead pipes. It's going to be funded by $2.5 billion out of the bipartisan infrastructure law. And also made an announcement that he's going to have the Environmental Protection Agency write a rule requiring that any remaining lead pipes in drinking water systems have to be removed by 2037. Now, again, that sounds like it's still a long ways away, but the forecast prior to yesterday was that it might take about 60 more years to get rid of all the lead water pipes around the country. And the president's saying, no, that won't do. You've got about a dozen years to get this thing done. All right, well, that would be enough right there if that's all it was. But Eric Hovde was speaking yesterday at the Milwaukee Press Club and the Rotary Club of Milwaukee, and it made lots of suggestions, once again, saying that, you know, if you're a young worker, first thing we're going to do is jack up the retirement age and put retirement a little bit more out of reach. He talked about slashing the budget to 2019 levels. Now, imagine your pay getting cut to 2019 levels. I mean, some people say, yeah, let's cut the prices too, but let's imagine the prices don't change, but we cut your salary. You know, cutting services to 2019 levels as our population continues to age, you know, is one of several different things that he said. And he was asked afterwards by reporters some more of his thoughts. And here's what he had to say about the federal funding that President Biden just announced for removing those lead pipes.
So, look, lead paint was stopped in the 1970s, but there's still homes that have lead paint. Lead pipes are more dangerous. The reality of it is there's not a lot of lead pipes anymore because typically a pipe will erode over a certain amount of time and they replace them. So I think it's trying to act like there's a bigger issue. The amount of lead pipes in this country are very small.
Trying to act like it's a big issue. this is clearly a guy, Greg, who check out that Laguna Beach mansion. I'm betting that lead pipes aren't a problem for him, and so therefore they're not a problem to anybody.
This is a man. He wants to raise the retirement age. That's fine. Cool. Go for it. This is a guy who can retire tomorrow if he wants to, and his children's children's children will be fine. Yep. Also, speaking of children, one lead pipe is too many in a home. That affects people. That affects children. That affects learning abilities. To be so flippant and so like, it's not that big of a deal. That is so irresponsible coming from a guy who cares so much about the family. This man makes me so angry that I start to get like a headache behind my eye.
He does have that effect on people. And it was also brought up yesterday that a video that he put on Twitter, it was a few days ago, but is just getting traction now. He's doing the same thing that former President Trump is doing, that congressional candidate Tony Weed is doing, that all kinds of top Republicans are doing. They are still lying about Hurricane Helene relief and claiming that money is being diverted to take care of migrants, when that's not the case. Has not been that case, will not be the case. Those are separate pots of money. There's been no transfer. If anybody has transferred money to deal with migrants and put that money away from disaster relief, let the record be clear. Donald Trump did that in 2019. So shame on Hovde and Tony Weed, Donald Trump, and everybody else who perpetuates that. Melissa Baldoff is next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. It's electric!
All right, welcome back to Up North News Radio. Melissa Baldoff is here with our weekly climate check, and this time it's kind of a fact check as well. Because, Melissa, good morning. You won't believe this, but we need to fact check Donald Trump.
Wait, Pat, I was told there would be no fact checking. They're done.
Maybe that's what Trump and J.D. Vance were told. But in fact, there needs to be fact checking on this, because the things that Trump and Vance are saying and that Republicans are saying are not only wrong, but they also threaten the growth of an entire economic sector, one that we talk about quite frequently, you know, in this space, is that as we move from fossil fuels to things like solar and wind and hybrid vehicles and EV vehicles, I mean, these things are coming. The main question is whether America is part of that, or if we're importing all of these things and basically exporting the jobs.
Right. You know, and this is something, you know, that when I talk to folks, you know, in the public sector, in the private sector, nonprofit, you know, anywhere you go, I mean, this is increasingly something that is part of the conversation when a business is thinking about where they're going to build, where they're going to relocate, where they're going to scale up. They are thinking about access to EV infrastructure, because that's something that's important to their employees. You know, when they are building, they want to know what's going to be there in terms of that capability, because that's something employees are asking about. They are planning for that when they're building, when they're growing. And, you know, that's something that, you know, it's really being driven by consumers, by the market, by the private sector, which are all things you would think that Republicans would like. Those are things that they claim to like when something is driven by the market, by the private sector. And now we have something, we have this industry that is growing, and it is growing because people like these vehicles. They like spending less on gas. They like knowing that they can do something to help reduce their carbon footprint, put fewer harmful emissions into the environment. And all of a sudden, Republicans, you know, Donald Trump, oh no, I don't want this. No.
It's one of those things where if Biden is for it, then I guess I have to be against it for reasons only surrounded by partisan politics. And You know, we actually look at how we have progressed on this segment, where we frequently start to talk about it from a climate standpoint and climate concerns, and then we kind of transition toward the economic concerns. We kind of jumped right into the economic concerns about this, but when you talk about supply and demand, let's not forget why supply and demand is changing. It's not just that these are the new cars and people like the tech and everything. It's that people are more aware than ever of a changing climate, and that they never looked to contribute to it in this way. But when you look at, you know, typical fossil fuel cars versus hybrids and EVs, people want to do their part.
They do. And I would also say, too, I just think that over the years, people have become smarter consumers. They've become, more invested in their role as a consumer and their, you know, kind of personal responsibility as a consumer. And I think a lot of that is, you know, due to all the information you can get about a product, and people want to do their part in having a vehicle that is, you know, is cleaner, is healthier, and is helping them save money. I think that's a wonderful thing that people are making those choices. And it's just a shame that that there is this not only failure to support that shift in the industry, but there is open hostility and this active misinformation and disinformation about EVs.
Right. And here's the thing. Let's get into correcting the record on this EV mandate. All right. Because first and foremost, there is no EV mandate. There is a new rule from the Environmental Protection Agency about tailpipe emissions, and that they're going to have to get stronger in the aggregate. But that means that if an automaker to abide by this rule has to, you know, change its ratio of fossil fuel cars to, you know, to hybrids and to EVs, you know, they can make that change across their entire fleet. But there's a big difference between setting an air quality standard and saying you're only allowed to sell these types of cars. Car makers, Melissa, have all kinds of flexibility with how they're going to meet increasing standards for cleaner air.
They do have a lot of flexibility. And also, it's very important to point out that the car manufacturers have been very supportive of this transition to electric vehicles. They recognize that this is the future, that there is a demand for this type of vehicle. They want to be, obviously, a part of this because they recognize that it is a great business proposition for them. And they clearly know that, you know, consumers want to be making these, you know, smarter, cleaner choices when it comes to vehicles they're driving. I even saw just recently, and it kind of almost broke my brain a little bit because I'm trying to think who is the customer for this, but there must be one, but an electric Hummer. So, you know, there are people, all different kinds of people who want all different kinds of electric vehicles. The auto industry knows it. They want to be a part of this. They know that they want to be a part of reducing those emissions. And they're not calling this a mandate. They're not out there complaining about this largely. If they thought that this was going to be harmful to their industry, they would be saying so. And that's not what we're hearing. What we have largely been hearing and seeing is them embracing the shift to electrifying more of our vehicles that are out on the road. So when you hear Donald Trump and other Republicans complaining and bellyaching about, you know, this mandate or whatever they want to call it, that's not true. You know, this is about their politics and a narrative that they want. It is not about what's really happening.
No. And to take it to the next step, when you have something like the Inflation Reduction Act, which again, to get us toward a new economy and cleaner air, offering all kinds of tax credits, loans, and other incentives for getting into this, you know, this new generation of manufacturing, why wouldn't the automakers want to be a part of this? It can't be made any more clear than that, that you're hearing the most complaining about a mandate that doesn't exist from a man who, again, said to oil company executives, you guys ought to get together and give me $1 billion. And in return, I will scrap all of the clean air standards and you can build all the fossil fuel cars that you want. And Melissa, one of the things that I think needs to be underscored as well with this, you know, quote unquote mandate, is actually it's just incentives, not only for consumers, not only for automakers, but we have so many fleets out there that can be converted. And as they are, things get cleaner, school buses, city buses, you know, company fleets, and every one of those places is looking to save money where they can. And boy, you give a discount on you know, replacing your fleet, that's a pretty good shot in the arm for some local dealers.
It absolutely is. It's a great deal for the dealers who are selling those cars. And it's also a great deal for our local governments, our school districts, even local businesses who might have a fleet of vehicles, a police department, a nonprofit, but especially any of those public entities, nonprofits, tax exempt entities that are eligible for those direct pay rebates that we talked about recently, where if they are purchasing electric vehicles and EV charging infrastructure, they could get some big time money back from the government to make those upgrades. So, you know, this is something, and that allows them to, you know, use those savings to make other, make other investments, or, you know, in the case of schools, put it back in the classroom, all kinds of other things. So, you know, this is really a win-win all around. But yeah, I can't imagine any dealerships that wouldn't want to see a customer that's going to come in and make a big purchase of a number of vehicles.
Yeah. If there's one thing a dealer likes, it's being able to say, hey, here's an extra incentive that right. might get you to say yes.
How many would you like?
And then just from the infrastructure standpoint, let's talk about, you know, just the batteries alone and battery production. If Trump were to just be completely environmental and electric and hybrid vehicles, you're not just affecting car manufacturing, you're impacting, again, battery storage, the charging components, everything around it. And I just don't know that Trump even appreciates the kind of cascading effect that would have in a negative way on the economy.
Right, absolutely, because we know that there are some really great paying jobs coming out of this industry, and we're seeing it here in Wisconsin that people are going into careers in the clean energy economy. And again, we've talked about this that there are so many good paying jobs in this clean energy economy that are jobs that you don't have to go to a 4-year college for, that you're not taking on a whole bunch of student loan debt for. And by, being so hostile to this industry, it is really threatening, the livelihood of people who are working in that industry.
Right. So let's recap again here. Not a mandate. The Biden administration has a goal to have electric vehicles comprise half of all new vehicle sales by the year 2030. And the Environmental Protection Agency is proposing new emission standards, which would cut 10 billion tons of carbon dioxide. And, that doesn't mean it has to all be from EVs. As long as the gas-powered cars are more energy or fuel efficient as well, that helps them get toward that goal. So, Melissa, it sounds to me like, there's really nothing here for Donald Trump to hang his hat on other than, oh gosh, there's that word again.
Yeah. And, we know he is, the king of the Whoppers here, right? And he, I just really couldn't let us get away from this segment without talking about the one that he has repeated in one way, shape, or form a number of times, his claim that there have been 8 chargers that cost $10 trillion.
Yeah. I mean, that's like saying that you're building a home, you've committed a price for building the whole home, but before construction even gets started, the only thing that's been delivered is some of the lumber, and saying, oh, they said they were going to build a $200,000 house, and all they've done is spend $200,000 for this pile of lumber. Well, no, it's an industry that's just getting started. But this is the kind of ridiculous stuff Donald Trump does. And he's dropping like $1 million in ads in Michigan because he thinks that that message is going to get through to Michigan voters. And it's sad that we have to take up this much time exposing just flat out lies like this. But I mean, somebody's got to do it.
Exactly. And, you know, we will do the fact checking. So I'm happy to be here and make sure that we're calling out the lies when we see them.
Whether they know or want to be fact checked or not, that's what we do.
Exactly.
All right, Melissa Baldoff with this week's Climate Check. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right, still to come, the difference between PTAs and PTOs, our weather forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and we will visit with Todd Alba. But today's history lesson, of course, is coming up next. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is calm, it's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right in the head.
You better get yourself together.
John Lennon was born 84 years ago today. Of course, we lost him way too young, murdered back in 1980. And it gives me reason again to say that there was a movie out about, I don't know, 5 years ago or so called Yesterday. And it didn't get, you know, all the world's greatest reviews. It wasn't like this mega blockbuster or anything. But it was still a nice, entertaining little film. And again, without trying to have any kind of, you know, spoiler in there, because you might see it, but, you know, there's something about the movie involving John Lennon that just, it just gets you. So I, again, definitely recommend that. It was on this day in 1965 that the Beatles' Yesterday hit number one on the charts, and Sean Lennon is 49 years old today. Today's history lesson for this October 9th, a Wednesday. If it's Wednesday, it means Melissa Kay is knocking on the door here from WFHR. And of course, we're going to let her in. How's Melissa today?
I am awake and drinking coffee.
Those are two things that are real.
That's exactly how I started this hour. I'm like, I'm not ready yet. Haven't had enough coffee yet, but you know, some days are like that. Tony says that he liked that particular movie, and Rob from Tigerton with an early good morning, Melissa, to
good
you
morning, Rob.
Making comments on YouTube over there. What's new in Wisconsin Rapids in radio world there?
I am just still up in over my eyebrows with editing for uh-huh. my new show, but I'm making progress. I've got my 2 pilot episodes done. Now I just got, you know, 2, 4, 6 more to go.
Oh boy.
And then we're ready to launch.
All right. Well, good luck with that. We are definitely looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Jackson Brown fan.
Sure.
Okay. Jackson Brown.
Jackson Brown. 70... Jackson Brown. Jackson Brown.
Yep. He's 76 years old today. His name is indeed Jackson Brown. It's just that we don't call him by his actual first name, his birth name, Clyde.
Ugh.
They named him. His real name is Clyde Brown. Clyde Jackson Brown.
Or CJ Brown.
CJ Brown would work too, yeah. He was born in Heidelberg, Germany, back in 1948, where his father, an American serviceman, was stationed. So happy birthday to him. Are you familiar with Thomas the Tank Engine?
We can do it. Yes, we can. No, that's Bob the Builder.
That's Bob the Builder. Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, it's similar.
It's, yeah. It encouraged but those kids.
Encouragement.
Okay. One's a human, one's a train.
Positive
affirmation. Yep. Anyway, the TV show.
They're both animated, Pat.
Premiered on ITV in this day in 1984. And it, the animated version has gone through a few different incarnations, but who did the original one? Was it George Carlin?
George Carlin was the the train. I thought it was Thomas the Train.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Thomas the Tank Engine and Friends. And wasn't he the narrator?
He was the first narrator, and then it was Ringo Starr.
Then it was Ringo Starr. I'm like, am I confusing one or the other?
Maybe it was.
That's it.
No, I think it was George Carlin, then Ringo Starr.
Okay. Yeah. So
I'm just going to wait for Roger to correct me if I'm wrong.
wait a minute. Let me go check out that comment section over here. Nope. Okay. Now, here's an anniversary of sorts. Fox Broadcasting Company, Fox Network, launched as the fourth U.S. network on this day in 1986. And I recall some of the first shows were like Married with Children and The Simpsons and things like that. And it was interesting to have an alternative to the three networks, but it was just kind of, there was just something kind of off about their programming that when they launched Fox News Channel, I was like, okay, I see where this is going. This feels right. Yep, exactly. Let's see. On this day in 1961, Ray Charles landed his second number one hit in the U.S. with this.
Never heard of it.
John Entwistle played bass for The Who. Born this day in 1944. Passed away in 2002. Tony Shalhoub, Wisconsin, born and raised, I believe, actor, is 71 years old today. And this next one is either a great example of innovative twists on classical music or some kind of blasphemy because it was on this day in 1976 that Walter Murphy and his Big Apple Band had a number one hit with a disco version of a Beethoven classic.
And to answer your question, Pat, it's the first answer.
There you go. See?
I played like this song last night at Drag Bingo.
Perfect. Let's see. Kurt Newman, singer, songwriter, guitarist for the Bodines, born in Milwaukee 63 years ago today. Happy birthday. And here's one. If this one's going to get you, Melissa. You know Blues Clues, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Not Bob the Builder, not Thomas Dink, Blue's Clue. Steve. Remember Steve?
Yeah.
Cute little Steve, a little young Steve. Mm-hmm. Steve is 51 today.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Well, that didn't
Yeah, you were really looking to kick the legs out from under her. She took
it. Really was for her to go, I'm so old, but no.
An adult in the
Well,
show.
Yeah, but a very young adult. Anyway, today is Emergency Nurses Day. It's International Beer and Pizza Day. So, Melissa, you have permission from Planet Earth. Have all the beer and pizza you want today.
I would like to do it internationally, though.
Yes, I agree. So we're going to go to Epcot and hit every one of the little countries there.
I love it.
Bring your teddy bear to school day. It is Moldy Cheese Day, something I never thought I'd like and then did later in life, like blue cheese and some of the others. Mm-hmm. Really like them now. And National Curves Day. So if you have curves,
thank you.
Embrace them as we do, because we got no alternative right now, right? Thank you, Melissa. Have a great day.
You too.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.